This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, where we go behind the headlines and explore what's driving the press. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. We've entered day 13 of the Movement Control Order, or MCO, with another 2 weeks still left on the clock. Daily life has been upended, and with most people now confined to their homes, community media outlets become a source of information and interaction that many turn to in these confusing times. One such media outlet is SJ Echo, which was the first community newspaper for Subang Jaya set up in 2007. SJ Echo is led by founder and veteran journalist Tio Tek Hong, whom we spoke to on Pressing Matters back in January 2018. He joins me on the show again today. Welcome back to the show, Tio.
Thank you, Shazana. Good morning.
We covered the history and founding of SJ Echo in our last conversation. So for listeners who want to catch up on that, do look for the podcast on our BFM app, and we're also on Spotify. Today, though, what I'd like to do is maybe catch up a little bit on what's been going on with SJ Echo since we last spoke to you. So back in 2018, you mentioned that SJ Echo had a circulation of around 30,000 print copies, which is an impressive number for a community paper. So how have fortunes fared since?
We have continued to grow since 2018. We are still at 30,000 copies circulating across Subang Jaya, Bandar Sanwe, Puchong. But what we have done is that we've actually taken a step in social media, reaching out to our readers as the news unfolds through social media, especially through our Facebook page, which is now almost touching at about 30,000 followers. I guess, I mean, we can say that, you know, the social media side is now taking a precedent, is taking the forefront of the whole SJ Echo machinery, reaching out to people. We are adding more visuals. We are putting on more videos. We are even going up in the air with drones to give readers an idea of what Subang Jaya looks like from the air and what's happening around, whether it's crime, community initiatives, charity events, etc. Right to the point of even, you know, dengue outbreaks and now COVID-19.
So you're really involving more technology and digital content into your reporting. In terms of the audience that you reach out to, do the people who read the print copy, are they the same ones who also engage with you on social media, or are you reaching actually two very different audiences?
I think we are reaching out to very different audiences. A print media would probably cater more and be more, how would you say, interesting to the slightly older readership, yeah, who still like the idea of holding a newspaper while having their coffee in the morning or having their toast and half-boiled eggs at the coffee shop. While at the same time, the social media side also actually sees quite a lot of older folks. But we have noticed that we have a younger crowd following us and who are also feeding information to us, photographs as it unfolds in their neighborhoods. So there is an overlap somewhere between the social media side and the print. But this is obviously very good because then, you know, we are then able to actually reach out to different segments of society here.
How about your team? I mean, in our last interview, you mentioned that you were largely a one-man show. Has this expanded since then?
That's a good question, actually. I think we've branched off into community journalism. We are still a one-man team. I'm still managing A to Z. But what we have done over the last 2 years is to engage interested community leaders and people on the streets, people in the neighborhoods who are interested to contribute ideas and even information or photographs and all that. So even if, when we do our drone photographs and drone videos and all that, these are friends in the neighborhood who are professionals in their field, who use the drone for their work and all that, and who use it for their leisure, who have come forward and said, anytime you need, just let us know, we fly for you, you don't have to worry about it. We have senior citizens, we have also housewives, we have working people who actually feed into the Facebook messenger. information. Even yesterday, there was an accident as it unfolded. It was recorded on their camera. They sent it over. Then we rely on, a lot on the police also, the bomber also feeding information. At the end of the day, I mean, we are the heartbeat of Subang Jaya. And in order for the heart to continue beating, we need the people out there. So the people are actually now coming forward to be the community journalists and videographers, cameramen, et cetera, in this whole setup now.
I love that. I really like how something like SJ Echo is bringing the community together in terms of sharing information and news. I had one question because we spoke to you last time in January 2018. I wanted to ask if you managed to stick to your principle of staying out of politics, especially during that wave of political awareness and interest of GE14.
Amazingly, actually, we did. Very strictly, and even during the campaign period, the elections, and then subsequently the 20 months of the new government, we maintained our neutrality and apolitical stand. We concentrated and focused on community issues and just ignored the political side of it. It was a tough one. It was a tough one, especially, I mean, it was a new scenario. It was a new political scene. Even in the present time, with the change again, we have actually managed to stay away from all this.
I think in some ways that's a really wise line to toe so that people actually have an outlet that, where they can get away from all the political news, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's a politically free platform. And I mean, it doesn't matter where I stand personally, politically, but where the where SJ Echo is concerned, it's apolitical and we will remain so.
You have contributors from the Pakatan Harapan Coalition to your publication. Is there a diversity in terms of political people that engage with your newspaper?
I think it's a matter of whether there are people out there who are up to it to actually meet our criteria. I mean, taking on anybody from whichever political divide is not a problem as long as it is community-based. You know, the policy is basically you don't write about politics if I give you a column. You know, the idea would be talk about your engagement with the community. What are the issues out there and all that? Sadly, that is lacking from one side of the political divide.
I'm speaking to Teo Te Hong, the managing editor of the community news portal SJ Echo. We'll have more from this conversation after the break. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just joined us, this is Pressing Matters on the Morning Run, and I'm Shazana. On the show with me today is Teo Te Hong, the managing editor of the community news portal SJ Echo. And we're discussing how Subang Jaya is responding to the COVID-19 outbreak and the Movement Control Order, or MCO. So, Teo, we can really see the value of a community news portal, especially in times like we're experiencing now. In your case, SJ Echo has become this bridge for enforcement authorities to engage with residents. Some of your most popular recent posts on Facebook are where you shadow the police as they patrol Subang Jaya to enforce the MCO. I was wondering how receptive were the police to the idea of having you tag along with them? I would imagine that they wouldn't really want somebody following them around and kind of documenting their moves as they do their enforcement patrols.
That's an interesting question. I guess the relationship goes beyond even COVID-19. You know, since the time we set up in 2007 until now, actually, we've built up a good relationship with the local authorities, the police, MPSJ, Bombar. The idea would be we complement each other in terms of giving coverage and getting the message out. When we ask and say, can we join you at the roadblocks? Can we join you on your enforcement runs, especially during the MCO? And it was an immediate yes, yeah. We started a charity food distribution with the Lions Club of Subang Jaya. We needed to mobilize volunteers to pick up the food, to distribute the food and all that. We had to ask the police and say, can we get a letter? you know, so that the volunteers, I mean, when they move around and if they are stopped at the roadblock, they have a letter to show. And I mean, the letter was issued immediately because the police actually know what we are doing, what our intentions are, and they are a partner with us in doing all these things in the community.
Could you describe one of the roadblocks or patrols that you've observed or followed?
The roadblocks that started just at the beginning of MCO was a little bit lighter. You know, policemen were just observing if there was anything suspicious or anything that was not right. They would stop the car on a motorcycle to check and all that. It was a casual hi, everything and all that. But I guess over the week itself, this has been tightened. A lot more motorists, I think most of all the cars are being stopped, and policemen with the army beside them are asking, where are you going? What are you doing? Etc. People are complaining that there are roadblocks and it's causing a jam and everything along the major roads. And whenever they mention that to me, I say, look, you're supposed to be at home. Why are you on the road? The roadblock is actually to check. That is the idea of the roadblock. So far, people are complying. People have not been nasty. And I guess, I mean, it's okay. I think we have about 3 or 4 roadblocks around us monitoring.
I see. How do you observe the police interacting with Subang Jaya residents? I guess, what's the perception of the community about police authority?
I mean, there will be always 2 sides of the coin to this question. There will be those who don't interact, who always perceive the police force negatively. But there's the bigger side of it where the community stands. We work with the police. The tagline that the police have, you know, the police and the community tidak berpisah. And basically, the community here works hand in hand with the police. So even in times like this, you know, the community worries whether the policeman on duty actually can get a decent meal or have the time to get a decent meal. Over the last week, you see community, I've joined some of them, sending lunch over to the roadblocks, to the police stations and all that. To me, it's a sign of appreciation of what the police are doing. And it's also a sign of the friendship that we have nurtured over the years.
And let's turn to the hot topic of the moment, which is MCO compliance. As you said, largely people are obeying, but still there are long jams at roadblocks because there are a lot of cars on the road, despite the order for people to stay at home. What are some of the observations that you've had in terms of compliance in Subang Jaya?
I think I would start off by saying that the MCO has actually turned most of our houses upside down. I think in the first week, people were still trying to adapt to the idea that they had to stay home. I guess it's more difficult for those who lead an active lifestyle. You know, they are busy at work, they're busy socializing. Suddenly, you know, they're just like, I have to stay within these 4 walls and entertain myself. So it would be expected that, you know, in the first week that, you know, people would still be trying to churi-churi keluar lah. I think I can do it, you know, I won't get caught, you know, it's okay. I just give the excuse, I'm going to the pharmacy, go see the doctor or buy my food. But as the pandemic figures rise, I think a lot of us fear that if these people continue to run around as they wish, things will not get better. I think one of the major thorn in the flesh is the fact that people are still going out to parks. They're still walking their pets. So there's a segment of a society that's still very adamant on the fact that, hey, if I go out alone, it's social distancing. I'm not mixing with people. But our answer is, what if 100 people think that way? You'll end up with 100 people at that particular park. What about picking up viruses along the way and bringing it home? So people are giving a lot of excuses. So, I mean, the fact is that then the OCPD of Subang Jaya has already said police officers are going out to enforce. Enough is enough, offering the carrot for you to use your own discretion. If you do not know how to use that and appreciate that, then the police will come out to detain. The MCO has to be enforced, has to be respected by people. for us to actually overcome this period of time.
Right. I think the healthcare risks really ought to override other concerns on personal comfort for the time being. I wanted to ask about your thoughts on the coverage that you do in terms of people flouting the MCO. So there are times when you post up photos of people that are seen in the parks or people on the street. Is this a kind of shaming exercise to get people to comply?
I wouldn't consider it as a shaming exercise. I mean, quite a lot of photographs I've gone out to take myself, but quite a bit also are coming from the community. People who are actually obeying the MCO are frustrated, are angry that there are those out there, irresponsible people out there, who are taking a risk and are actually endangering the lives of others.
This is a conversation that's being mirrored across all forms of social media, on Twitter, on Instagram. I guess my question to you is, when does constructive criticizing or fair expression of anger cross the border into bullying? And is this something that you've had to manage in your portal?
I wouldn't consider it so much bullying. I guess SJ Heko sometimes adapts itself to being a punching bag for the community to let off steam. People were using us as a platform to release their frustrations, to voice their anger, to voice their opinion. And it's fine, because so long as you stay within the realms of engaging constructive comments, we monitor all the time. Over the week, we've sounded off to a few people who posted, to a large extent, racial or religious sentiments. Our stand is very clear. The moment you post it, I give you a message to tell you you're out of line. If you do not remove it, I'm going to print screen and I'm going to send it straight to the police and then ban you straight from the page. And so some of them have actually complied and said, I'm sorry, you know, okay, I will delete it. But there are those who will still fight you. There will still be those who are stubbornly saying, no, this is my stand. Then we will do what is necessary to report it in.
While we're on this vein of managing community interactions in the portal, I wanted to ask what your observations were on the fake news trend. In this COVID-19 outbreak, are you as a media outlet being asked to verify fake news from your readers?
We do get a lot of calls and messages asking us to verify. Our message box is full. That's why we put up even a notice and said, look, we are trying to reply you. Whatever messages you send, if it's constructive, if it's a question, we will reply you in time. And if it's urgent, we will come back to you as soon as possible. We are helping people. Even this morning, I got a message asking me, where do I order my gas tank, yeah, or refill? And what about, there was one here last night asking me, my husband is still going to work at least once a week. That company is doing something that I think is not in the essential services sector. How do I do it? Will my husband also get arrested if I report it to the police? You know, these questions that go. Within the WhatsApp groups, in the different WhatsApp groups in the community, you get a lot of fake news. In communities, people just post things, forward things. And if I see something that's a little bit dubious, I will always ask and say, where did you get this from? Have you called to verify? To cast that doubt and to cast that question, so that they think again before they, you know, even believe it. It may not be that it's relevant to them, but it's just, you know, people are so trigger happy these days, you know. I think it runs across the age divide, you know, from the senior citizens to the youngsters. Everybody's just cooped up in a coconut, I would say, with a small hole for air and sunlight. And everybody just wants to go, you know, reaching out for it and be a hero out there because they're bored. People are bored out here.
And we've only reached the halfway point, Teo. I mean, it's day 13 of the MCO now, and we still have another 2 weeks to go. Do you think complying with the MCO is going to become easier or harder for people as time passes, especially since there's still the possibility of it being extended if the number of cases don't decrease?
I think the answer to that will be enforcement, enforcement. People will have no choice but to stay at home. What I've observed actually is that too many people have too few hobbies. that can help them keep themselves occupied. Many people do not have a hobby outside their work life and their family life. People need to find something to pass their time. Pick up a hobby now. We need to find the opportunity to do something and do something constructively, not just sitting behind the computer and being keyboard warriors and, you know, and shooting down everything that is, whether it's good or bad.
I really like that perspective too. It's kind of like the silver lining in this very difficult situation that we're in, that the time that we have staying at home gives us time to reflect on our lifestyle and whether it's time to make lifestyle changes that is actually more beneficial for us in the long run. Hopefully this is something Subang Jaya residents and Malaysians in general will be able to take away when we finally emerge from this period at some point.
Yeah, I'm already getting new ideas and inspiration for what I can do for SJ Echo and for the community. It's not just about sleeping more, but it's about productively using your time and abiding by the rules of the MCO. I think that's the most important now in order for us as a country to bring down our figures.
Teo, thank you so much for speaking to me today.
You're welcome.
I've been speaking to Teo Teh Hong, the managing editor of the community news portal SJ Echo. This has been Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. Enterprise will take over right after the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.